wrote a book, The Psychopath's Bible. It really stands out. You want to tell us about that?
The Psychopath's Bible really, particularly if you look at the latest editions, has a gigantic amount of coursework and study to do. If you want to be superior, if you want to be better, you have to learn. And you have to learn lots of different things. And the book tells you how to become superior. I use the word psychopath as a substitute for the word superior person. And the reason I chose that word is because so many of the great people throughout history, today particularly in our climate of political inferiority, we are sold an idea that all ideas, all values, everything is equal. There's nothing better than one thing than another, which is taught particularly in universities and the Department of Sociology, which in my opinion will be non-existent within 50 years for the simple reason that everything is a function of the structure of the human brain. I really don't care about the subhuman or the average person. I care about the person who desires to be superior and maybe is in a certain sense, but doesn't have the tools to become that way. And I provide techniques and work within that book to help them start along this process. Now, they can do this all by themselves, but if they want to work with me personally, which some do, they have to do it under my direction and the way I tell them. I do not put up with arguments or discussions. I'm not running an egalitarian university. I'm running a dictatorship. This is what I know works. If you want to do it, do it. If you don't, go somewhere else. But the Psychopath's Bible, some people have been panicked by the name, psychopath. Some people have even turned the book into the federal government.
I'm sure you enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was fun. However, they saw that it was truly benign. I mean, I'm not out to overthrow any of their silly systems. I'm simply providing information and techniques for those individuals who feel they want to be better than the common flock and who are willing to spend the time doing the work to accomplish that.
A lot of people don't when they get involved in this. And sadly, a lot of people associate this work with the occult and magic. And that's interesting on the outset. It's attractive and sexy and mysterious. How do we separate this from magic and the occult and all that nonsense? Because this is real physical and physiological and psychic work.
That's true. You can do, and I have practiced all of these things and experimented with them, because my position is if I don't do it, I don't know it. So I have done hundreds and hundreds of rituals. I am a high-level initiate in a number of organizations. I have, in fact, co-started one with another individual using my lineage, or misusing my lineage.
That's a better term for it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of experience in the so-called occult and
right.
The so-called initiations. It's a peak experience to be initiated, but a peak experience does not make a day, and it doesn't make a permanent change in your fundamental makeup. It may make a change,
like a small imprint.
Yeah, that's all. And I've officiated at numerous initiations and have been through so many myself, I hate to even remember them. And also have performed numerous rituals with very high-ranking adepts, and it's cool. It's a nice experience.
Right, it's
like going
and sexy
to the amusement park
and getting that thrill.
Yeah.
But you gotta come down to earth.
You gotta come down to earth and apply everything you do more or less each and every day.
Yeah, every day is the key. What Dr. Rigardi was doing and the books he wrote was what he really wanted to separate himself from that stigma. There was a great quote in one of the books. He said, sometimes I just wish the whole occult and Crowley and all that would just go the hell away. And I could really sympathize with that.
Yeah, we had a box of letters, a gigantic box of letters. And we were going to do a book called Liber Nuts. The Book of Nuts. It would have been fascinating to do it. But even though legally the letters belonged to him, because they were sent to him, we could not, according to our lawyers, publish the book without being open to tremendous litigation. So we didn't. And after his death, I destroyed the entire collection of thousands of letters from fruitcakes. And I always say in any interview I do, don't write me an email and ask me for the secret name of your angel. Please.
Is there a real need to filter all that out, all the occult and all that schlemiel of magic? Or does it hold any value whatsoever?
As a peak experience, yes.
A religion,
initiation has a peak experience value. And that's good to have. But if you take it too seriously or you take it too personally, you're going to simply be, again, a legend in your own mind. It's not going to make a major change in your life, as a rule. A few people it has, but how has it? After the initiation, they went off and they worked their butt off.
That mystic experience that many of these adepti throughout the ages have verified under their own systems and within systems, they've had that peak experience and gone on to do the work, though. It seems to me that the addiction of getting that experience has really made the whole thing a big, giant rot, a corpse.
It's a collector of dust. It collects much dust, but every once in a while you'll find a particle here or there that is of true value, who our culture and society, and I use those as catchphrases, have rejected. There's no place for this person in the normal world. And what you do, much like what Rigardi did, is you get a profession so you can make an income, and then you continue on doing your work. But these people are few and far between. Very few and far between. And you keep on doing your research. There's a number of people I have met over how many years, say from the mid-60s to now, 40-some years. But the number compared to the overall number of people who are interested is less than 1%. Well, Rajneesh said in a major lecture he gave, 5% of you here are worth something. 95% of you here are to support the 5% who are worth something. However, everyone in the audience thought they were in the 5%.
Everybody thought they were in the 5%.
Right.
I was listening to a lecture by Robert Anton Wilson the other day. He said there was a story, he was talking about Rajneesh, that one day he said, well, I'm going to get all my disciples to wear orange. And that works. And everybody's going to, who wants this holy secret, my holy teaching, must wear orange. So they did that. He said, okay. And Dr. Wilson said, 5 years later, he came back and said, now I want you all to wear purple. And they all changed from orange to purple. And he said, well, hot damn. 5 years later, he came back and he said, I want you all to buy me Rolls Royces. And he's got a dozen of them. And that really seems to me to be fitting in this realm of work. You're either doing the work or you're not. You either master yourself or you don't. And it is 1%. But why do you think that is?
I think it's brain damage.
Brain damage.
Those of us who are in the work are brain damaged in a different way than the average person. And that's why I said somewhere, and people flipped out, is that I'm all for brain damage. Because if normality is what it's supposed to be, according to them, I'd rather be brain damaged. And I am. No question about
Aren't
it.
Aren't we all? Many people have said I'm brain damaged. I must be doing something, right? And you've had countless people say countless devious and dastardly things about you. But those are people who are sheep, basically the normal person. And what's in the occult, that's why people get into it, is it not? To get that normalcy away from them, to get that peak experience. I'm not normal anymore because I did this initiation or I have this experience or my
totally. Well, it's something they can identify. They never have been normal. That's why they went in it to begin with, but now they can put a label on it.
But now it is normal, though.
I'm a first degree. Well, it's normal within that group who are interested in that. For example, the group of born-agains, that's a separate group, and they have leaders, and these people are the top of their so-called spiritual hierarchy, and they're in charge, and they have a closer connection to the insights and the future of the universe and the human race. But it's always in nature there's a hierarchy. No matter whether you're Karl Marx or Adolf Hitler, there's always a hierarchy, and you could go through all the teachings you wish. And nature is smart enough not to make everything the same. Because just in case there is a calamity, there has to be enough variance within any system for a part of that system to survive. You can have all the delusions you want of normality, of what is right and what is wrong, and there will always be enough variability within the schemata so that if you had another ice age or if you had another warm age, something would survive of this particular genetic coil. Now, people are shocked right now over this whole idea of global warming. I mean, they're acting as if they have no sense of history. We had a minor ice age, 400 or 500 years ago in Europe and so-called United States, and 10,000 years ago, 20,000, 30, species come and go. There's nothing so marvelous about us that we have to be here. Actually, Rigardi hoped that we'd all die and something better would come. He found us rather disgusting, and I agree with him. Rather loathsome, disgusting group of monkeys. I call us the fifth great ape.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the dinosaurs had their time. It's like that movie The Matrix, as that character was saying. You're a disease, you go wherever you want, you reproduce, and you had your time. Buzz off.
It's all buzz off, right.
Bye. Where does the top of the hierarchy fit in then?
Within any particular system, there's always a top of the hierarchy. And even between the lowest people, there is the top person on that chain. People. You can make all the laws you want. You can talk all you want. Words are very dangerous because it gives you the illusion that you have free will. When in fact, you're just replicating. You're just a replicating system in space. That you have a mind of your own is another illusion. That you're really an individual is another illusion.
That's the biggest, free will is the biggest farce in the
whole universe. Yeah, biggest farce of all. And there's a particular group out there, I forgot their name, Do What Thou Wilt.
Oh my
shall
God,
be the
no.
Whole of the law. I would simply translate it, do what you must is what happens. I find them disgusting. I too was once a member just to learn more about them. But,
I'm going to throw up real quick.
No, please, dear. We don't have a mop handy. And they think they created such a phrase with Diogenes. And the Greeks in 400 BC were using such phrases of your so-called true will.